We're back! NBA Australia! How you going? Welcome to NBA Australia. It's Thursday, February 22. We're back, baby! And we're here with a guest! I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places. And sitting opposite me here in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, is Big Willie Billy Armour! Billy!
Jimmy, how are you?
I'm alright, man. Chilling out. That's right, man. We're here making sure you know everything that's going on in the NBA. Who's doing what? Where they're doing it? Why they're doing it? Who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball? And doing it today with Bill Armour hanging the fuck out in New York, visiting, staying in Larry Armour Studio.
So I've heard your opening scream a few times, obviously. It's much more terrifying in real life.
Oh, shit, yeah. That's why I have to put the dog away.
Yeah.
Nice. We're going to quickly go through the All-Star Weekend, the game itself, the three-point shootout, of course, the dunk comp. And how do we go with our NBA Australia predictions? Not great, turns out, not great. Then we've got all the usual dumbassery, extra special, yeah, Nas, better than Lonzo Ball, the unpopular opinion of the day, and as we do every day here on NBA Australia, we check on every Australian NBA player, see how they're going so far this season, and it's Thursday, so we get to add to our great moments in NBA Australia stat history, swing by Kiwi Corner, add a dickhead of the week, and finish up with a very special edition of Joe Ingles, HR manager. He swings by the office, Bill.
He does.
It's amazing. All right, let's get to it right after this one.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Australia, eh? Cheer, Brew.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
All right. Bill, NBA Australia, how you feeling?
Good.
First ever guest. This is bananas.
Yeah, I know. You're very underprivileged to have me here.
That's how it goes. So is this your highest profile media gig to date, or was it appearing on A Current Affair?
This is definitely the most reputable of the media opportunities I've had, Jimmy.
The weirdest part was I pinged you like I was a current affair out the front of the apartment, right? I'm like, Bill, we need to speak to you. Like, how do you go back to these accusations of Dallas and NBA Australia? I've got these questions right now. And you're like, no questions, thanks.
Yeah, I should have really read the run through before you asked me to come aboard, because I feel like wearing my Dallas t-shirt today is not going to do so well for me.
It is a trap interview. All right, man. So what do we do every day? It's the whip around. So Dallas, they're in trouble, Bill. You're wearing a Dallas 41 t-shirt right now. So allegations of institutional sexual harassment. Not great. For an organization?
No, not good, I wouldn't have said.
And then the domestic abuse accusations,
yeah, that one's
as well.
Kind of, that's terrible.
That's fucking shit house. So we'll talk about that in a couple of the other segments. Rich Cho is out as the Charlotte GM. Talk about that later as well. I feel like you got the short end of the old MJ stick there. And Kawhi, this broke yesterday. Greg Popovich is like, fuck, I don't know. He might be out for the rest of the season. Everyone's like, huh.
Yeah, and when you say broke yesterday, you mean like, is he broke or not broke? Because
we asked Pop, and he said he broke. So now Kawhi's like, guys, I'm not broke. I'm going to New York, but my shit hurts. And San Antonio like, does it though? Does it really? Anyway, we'll talk about that later as well. So let's wrap some All-Star Weekend shit there, Bill. What do you reckon? How was it? Like, overall impression off the top.
I really like the All-Star game when it gets to the point where the best players in the world decide they actually want to win.
Yep.
And it's a very important turning point.
The best part was it seemed like that was for much longer parts of the game this year. So what was it actually like being in America, the All-Star game?
Well, it was nice watching it at like a reasonable hour when it was dark rather than at like 11 o'clock in the morning. So that's really nice. It also wasn't a Monday, so that's got to be good.
True. So to wrap it up, Rising Stars, we predicted the world would win and they fucking smashed them. 155 to 124. You know why?
Because it was basically Philadelphia.
It was Big Ben fucking Simo throwing his big old dick out there on the court going, fuck all y'all.
He's like a regular Air Bud. He's amazing.
What else? So the three-point shootout, Devin Booker won. It was a bit shithouse otherwise, right?
But he hit a lot of threes.
It was a 20 of 25. You go 28. 28 points total, which is pretty bananas.
Yeah, probably a bit better than, what was it, the 9 that Paul George scored in the first round?
Fucking Paul George. Hey, do you reckon Joe Ingles may have done a little bit fucking better than 9? You reckon Joe Ingles would have done better than Kyle fucking Lowry, who is a shit three-point shooter anyway, and he goes in this every fucking year and sucks every fucking year. Yeah, he actually had a tweet as well. Just as like basically a bit of a, I think it was the crying emoji. Just Jingler. He's a fucking classic. So yeah, there you go. Devin Booker beat Clay by 28 points. We all know that. The dunk comp. So we actually predicted Devin Booker to win that as well here in NBA Australia. They nailed that. We've gone 2 of 3 so far. Unfortunately, we only went 2 of 5 all up. So the dunk comp, we predicted Dennis Smith Jr. There's a couple of good ones, right? We had Victor Oladipo do the Black Panther dunk, which was pretty sick, but almost came down to like, it was almost more sick because he was wearing the Black Panther mask and got it from Chadwick Boseman.
Correct.
And did the Wakanda Forever sign.
That's very helpful.
Which was fucking badass. But couldn't land his other dunk. So he was like, just done. Oh, well. Victor Oladipo, done. Dennis Smith Jr., double clutch dunk, which was fucking rad. That was his first one. And I think it only got like 38 or 39. Then he had the 360 through the legs, changed hand dunk, which was unfucking real and probably my favorite in the entire thing. But of course, he didn't get through either because DJ Khaled is like, congrats, fool, you played yourself, and gave him like a fucking 7 or some shit. Anyway, Donovan fucking Mitchell wins it. He and Larry Nance Jr. get through. So Donovan fucking Mitchell dunks. He got like a 48 with that weird 2 backboard dunk, which made no sense. Like, really, that's almost a 50 because he threw it off a wall and then dunked it. Come on.
I'm pretty sure I've done that dunk in my backyard with my 8-foot ring. Pretty rad.
That's why they call you Air Bill. He dunked over his sister, Kevin Hart's son. But while they crouched down...
I wouldn't have thought Kevin Hart would have to do much crouching.
It seems redundant.
Hmm.
It was still a pretty sick dunk. And then he had the Vince Carter dunk as well, which is pretty good. But not as good as Vince Carter. So I don't know why he wins. Because Larry Nance fucking Jr. should have, I reckon. He has his quick change dunk, rock the cradle windmill that was done by his dad, which was fucking amazing. He got up just as high as his dad. It looked just as good. Side by side, they're fucking just picture perfect. He had the windmill with the alley-oop from his dad, which is pretty cool. There was the underneath the backboard, from behind the backboard, which is another Vince Carter kind of thing. But then the crowning fucking moment, I thought, the double tap, which was pretty fucking incredible. Like, just to stay up there that long and for it to work like that is fucking bananas.
Except the whole crowd had no idea what was going on, and he realized that he'd done something really awesome that nobody else realized, and just goes straight to the, let's go to the replay, guys. But
the craziest part was that I think it was Kenny the Jet Smith was like, replay, we need to see the replay. He's just like, watch up. Oh, and then lost his shit. So I don't know. I feel like Larry Nance Jr. probably got robbed, but it's only because I had a little bit of money on him. Just a little bit.
It was definitely the most unique dunk of the night. Yep. It is cute seeing the guys get overly excited about everything on All-Star Weekend, even the things that you probably shouldn't get excited about.
But what you should have been excited about, the best dunk. So I've got two. It's the Dennis Smith Jr. The juniors. Dennis Smith Jr. through the legs, changed hands, windmill, which is watching in a replay. Like, how does he even fucking stay up there long enough to do this? Or the Larry Nance double tap. So what do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely double tap.
Nice. So there you go. Best dunk. Double tap. All-Star game. We predicted Team Steph because Team LeBron had like no players left after all the injuries. And still fucking Big Ben Simmons couldn't get a gig. Team LeBron win at 148-145 thanks to some actual defense on the last possession where LeBron and KD swallowed up Steph, which was fucking incredible. Like, as soon as he picks up his dribble, everyone's like, oh, Christ, we're going to need a fucking mop to clean up Steph at this point.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure going through Steph's mind is, if LeBron comes to my team, they better not trade me out because I can't score against these two with KD and LeBron there.
Man, LeBron really needs to team up with KD at this point. So LeBron wins the MVP. He has a 29-10-8. Pretty good.
He played pretty well.
LeBron and KD, as I mentioned, the defense on Steph at the end was just like legit the best defense anyone's played in the All-Star game in probably 10 years.
Yeah. Oh. But I think the key was that LeBron decided to start trying to win from about 5 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Yep.
As compared to like 5 minutes to go in the game.
So best dudes. Damian Lillard looked amazing. Joel Embiid was fun as hell. And obviously KD and LeBron was sick. Anyone else really stick out to you there, Bill?
I like the LeBron bounce alley-oop to Davis.
That's amazing.
Pretty handy.
Nice. Worst dudes, LaMarcus Aldridge played 4 minutes, 0 points. No wonder you're fucking picked last, you flog. Jimmy Butler sat out entirely.
Yeah, what happened there?
He's just like, guys, I'm tired. AKA, dudes, I'm super fucking hungover. And he was like us on Monday after the All-Star game, but he was prior to the All-Star game.
Yeah, his friend probably made him go to an Irish bar as well.
That's exactly what happened. Draymond didn't take a shot, so that's not great. But at the same time, I also like that he acknowledges that people aren't here to see Draymond Green score.
Mm.
Seems smart.
I feel like Draymond and LaMarcus both play very good regular NBA games, but have nothing to provide in an All-Star game.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Really happy Goran the Flog Dragic played, though. Real happy. He was completely fucking useless in 11 minutes. He had 2 points, one assist, and four rebounds. Gee! Do you think Big Ben fucking Simmons would have crushed those numbers just a little bit?
Oh, but he's a rookie. You can't put him in yet, bro. He's got to earn it.
Fuck off. Promised myself I wouldn't cry on this podcast, Bill. All right, the NBA Australia approved performance of the weekend.
That's not that nice.
That is a knife, Donovan fucking Mitchell. What do you reckon, Bill? Was he the best performer for the weekend?
Oh, easily.
Smashes the rookie sophomore game, wins the dunk comp. And we mentioned this last week on the old NBA Australia right here. This is the Donovan Mitchell like coast to the Rookie of the Year award weekend, where everybody gets to jump on the bandwagon because he's the high-profile rookie this weekend. He gets all the awesome gigs because Ben Simmons, no all-star spot, right?
Mm.
So everyone's like, oh, Ben Simmons, he did really well in the rookie sophomore game. But
that was it.
Then he just like fucked off to Mexico for like 3 days just to hang out on a beach. So I don't know. Donovan fucking Mitchell, way to win the dunk comp. Probably push yourself towards Rookie of the Year because it just gave you a huge, 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 huge stage where I was like, my God, that's right. Did you know that he's the leading scorer on the Utah Jazz? Did you know that no other rookie has ever led their team in scoring for 11 wins straight? It's like, yeah, I knew that, but you fucking morons, you didn't. You know what Ben Simmons is doing? Six fucking triple-doubles.
Yeah, it's quite handy, isn't it?
Jesus, already in the playoffs. Anyway, so there you go. Donovan fucking Mitchell, that's a knife. Nice one. All right, who do you reckon old mate no mates was though, Bill?
Old mate, no mates.
It's such a great one. Mark Cuban. Straight off the bat, Mark Cuban, no mates at the moment. Come on, man, we expected better. We'll talk about that in a little bit more in Dickhead of the Week in a surprise twist. Also, Jimmy Butler, fuck you for sitting out the All-Star game. Lou Williams is sitting there going, bruh, come on, man. I would have fucking played. I'm here. I live in LA. Come on, dude. Jimmy Butler's like, fuck you, Lou Williams. All right, let's get to everyone's favorite. What is it?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. Coming for everybody.
This is your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. Well, it's a week worth of better than Lonzo Ball. But it's hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. Larry Nance Jr. has got to be better than Lonzo Ball, right, Bill?
Absolutely.
His showing in the dunk comp, man. Unbelievable. Best part? His dad was there. Best part? Dad. Not an absolute fucking dipshit. And just very happy to hang out, let his son do the work.
Yeah, this is a weird thing that you're allowed to do, which is just like support and be proud of your son without being a massive douchebag.
That's exactly right. Could you imagine LeVar Ball in Larry Nance Sr.'s place?
I just like the idea that Lonzo Ball has a son and in another 25 years, they dress up as Lonzo Ball to do something.
I like it.
Mm.
That'd be amazing. So a LeVar Ball in Larry Nance Sr.'s place, like, do you reckon he would have tried to dunk instead of his son?
Oh, yeah, no, he would have asked Lonzo to get on Lonzo's shoulders so he could dunk.
I like it. So Larry Nance Jr. also gets a better than Lonzo Ball because he had a great quote this week. He said the toughest part about the transition from LA to Cleveland has been trying to convince his parents that he's not moving into their basement. Amazing. Good stuff. All right, let's get to Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week.
All right, man. What do you reckon, Bill? You're wearing the T-shirt.
Yeah.
The Mavs organization.
Not good.
Come on. Like, you can't keep a dude who keeps beating women, like, on your payroll and then, like, going, oh, but he did counseling. But he was convicted and then he did it again.
Yeah. And it's not, I wouldn't have thought it's that hard to find new people who could do those jobs as well.
A woman.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, maybe not going to beat women.
I think my favorite part was Cuban's comment afterwards, which was, I didn't realize what effect it was going to have. I'm like, really? You didn't realize what it was going to do when you said to a guy who was convicted of domestic assault that he could just totally come back and all the women in the office would be okay with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a giant amount of sense. Like, the best, like beating women, then does it again and it's reported to your internal HR. And they go, all right, so our response is going to be that you can't be alone with women. Like, at what point is this a good fucking idea? Like, at any stage of this, has this been a good idea? And, like, you can't have a CEO who has no chill and is, like, propositioning every fucking female within earshot over, like, what was it, like, 10 years?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Also, who the fuck says, like, oh, what are you doing on the weekend? You're going to get gangbanged, aren't you? Like, who has that little chill?
Yeah, that's no good.
Like, at any point has that been cool to say to anybody or interesting or funny or, like what's the result?
Nah, it's rubbish. And then poor Dirk finally gets on TV for the first time in like 5 years and he has to be interviewed about this and that's, yeah, he's just sad.
Dirk should not have to put up with this shit when he's like, you know, in his 80s. This is horrible.
Yeah. I was also thinking, looking at Dirk, I can't tell if he has like gray hair or blonde hair still, but it's really nice.
It's a good move. It's a power move.
Yeah.
Going, oh, wait, so I've usually got like brown hair, but it's kind of blonde at the same time. Y'all motherfuckers can't tell if it's gray, can you? Nice. And damn it, Cuban, like, you just can't let this shit happen, right? Like, you're the man, the buck stops here. You're the guy that is like at the top of the tree who sets the organizational sort of standard. And especially of like all the owners in the NBA, you're the guy who's like, oh man, I'm down in the nitty gritty. I understand everything's going on. Like, it's my sort of force of personality that drives all this kind of shit. And then there's this toxic fuckwittery hanging around. It makes not a great sort of look.
No, it's terrible. At least he has now come out and said, yep, my bad. That was a terrible, terrible call. But you can't do that after it's been exposed in the media. You're meant to do that when you realize it's stupid and, yeah, no good.
All right, let's move on to Yeah Nahs right after this one.
Oi, 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 it's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Matty Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Fucking love it when Deli pops up. It's great. All right, it's NBA Stray. You ready for Yeah Nahs? It's where we take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And Bill, this is all up to you. I'm going to throw it out to you. Each of these questions, yeah or nah, what do you reckon? Number one, did all the changes in the All-Star game make it worth all the attention we actually pay to it?
Yeah, nah.
Nah.
Nah. Ooh.
I think we could have had the same outcome just playing East versus West. You know, it was all down to LeBron decided at one point that he didn't want to lose and he was losing to a team shooting threes, which is basically the West. You know, was it then fun to see KD guard Steph? Absolutely. But also they weren't teammates up until like a couple of years ago.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, right? It was more fun than usual, but we'll talk about this in the third one. Number two, have they sorted out the dunk comp format yet?
Yeah, nah.
Nah.
Ooh. That's a good point.
But not enough dunkers, not enough dunks, I think is the key issue. And I think you and I were talking about the only two dunks in the final of the two best players. That's just not enough. And if you're going to split them on hairs with like a 46 versus a 48, you feel like you deserve a third dunk.
Third for a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Makes no goddamn sense,
like,
right?
They're willing to play seven games in every round of the finals between any two competing teams, irrespective of how terrible they are. And here they're like, nah, two will do.
Yeah. So I don't know how the fuck I came out of a dunk comp wanting to see more dunks. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, give me six dudes. Like, one, so you're four guys from this time around, one guy from the G League, and one guy who's like a random professional dunker. And just do that. Final is the best two. They get three dunks. And that's it, right?
Yeah, because otherwise you're just hoping that somehow the best two dunkers tie on their first two and it has to go to the tiebreak dunk.
And again.
But, yeah.
Fucking hell, it's so dumb. And just no more fucking 50s, right? Like, sliding scales, bell curves. Just think about these.
Mm.
You can't have it all weighted towards fucking 50. Mark Wahlberg. Fuck. Anyway, as usual, I blame Marky Mark. Number three, will televising the draft next year make next year's All-Star game even better? Yeah, nah.
Yes, absolutely.
I love this idea, right? Fuck Earth, it'll make it way more interesting. Like, way more pride on the line, right? It's like, oh shit, we're more invested. Everyone's more invested.
There are literally entire TV shows dedicated to this. They have shitty names like The Bachelor or Bachelorette, but that's basically how it works. They're sitting there with their little, I don't know, rings or roses or something, And then at the end, they've got LaMarcus Aldridge standing there with one other person, like Al Horford, looking really sad that they're about to be selected last.
It's time to go, LaMarcus.
Yeah.
Pack your shit. Get the fuck up. Like, what is it? Like, pack your knives? That's like a MasterChef one or whatever?
Yeah.
I don't know what the one fuck I'm talking about. Anyway, bonus, yeah, nah. Should the NBA change from East-West playoff seeds to a straight 1-16, as Adam Silver intimated on the weekend? Yeah, nah.
Yeah?
Fuck yes, of course they should, Bill. It's fucking stupid we don't already have the 16 best teams in the playoffs. Just think about that for like more than a second. It's like, hey, what are your playoffs? Oh, it's the 16 best. No. It's 8 of the best from this random conference over here and the 8 best from this random conference over here. So are they like completely split down the middle throughout the entire... Oh, no. So actually, it's just kind of random and arbitrary, like where they actually fall on a map as to where we sort of split them up East-West. What? What the fuck are we all doing? 1-16, do it already. And it's also because, you know, everyone's like, wait, if LeBron goes to the Lakers next year, we need him in the finals somehow. And if they're playing in the Western Conference Finals, we're stuck with the Warriors playing, what?
No one?
Toronto?
Yeah.
Next year? Fuck that. Anyway, what do you reckon? 1-16, you all good?
In.
Change it. I dig it. All right, unpopular opinion of the day. Look at me. The 5 of the best last quarter of the season stories, Bill. This is fun because you're here. I'm going to throw these out, see what you reckon, whip through them quick. Most fun player the rest of the year. Who you got?
Oh, we spoke about this before. Joe Ingles. Absolutely.
Joe Ingles.
I feel like he just hit a rich vein of form before the All-Star break and has now got a weird following of people. Including actual Americans were like, do you even realize that Joe Ingles is shooting it like really well? Did you know that? And I'm like, yeah, we knew that. It's like, is it weird that he wasn't in the 3-point shooting cunt? Of course it was weird.
I've been yelling about Down Under Durant over here for like the last fucking 6 months nonstop. Who jumps up a level the rest of the year?
I'm hoping Philly has a sustained improvement in form,
nice.
which is what they need to get into the playoffs.
I was thinking Milwaukee, but then, I don't know, you're just hoping that like Bledsoe's had enough time to sort of settle in. And so between Bledsoe, Giannis, and Middleton, you're kind of like, well,
there's enough good players there.
Why aren't you guys better? Maybe they get a little bit better off the All-Star break. I don't know. Who ends up the number one seed in the West, Bill?
Golden State. Golden State have far too many good players. They have an ability to turn it on when they need to. Everyone seems fit. Probably enough.
I think Houston will have a little bit of a swoon. I think Golden State will end up number one as well. Who misses the West playoffs? Clippers, New Orleans, Portland, or Utah?
I think New Orleans. Just without Boogie just seems like a really hard slog for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they've got two good players now. That's it. They had three. Now they have two. And the rest are an absolute shit show.
Yeah, and so, one of those two is like genuinely amazing in Anthony Davis.
Actually, two of those are going to miss. Clippers as well. I think Portland make it through. Utah make it through. I think the Clippers drop out as well. Because that's 10. Unbelievable that there's like deep. So many. Who ends up the number one seed in the East? Tricky.
I want to say Boston. I want to say Boston get it together over Toronto. But Toronto's had their advantage of, hey, it's super cold in Canada, but that has to like die off a little bit in the next couple of months.
Makes sense.
But it's only those two. Cleveland is so far behind.
Yep. I reckon Toronto get it. Who misses the East playoffs? Philly, Detroit, Miami? Or even one of Washington, Milwaukee, or Indy.
No, I think definitely Detroit.
Yep. They can't make it, I reckon. They're just not good enough. And Reggie Jackson comes back and fucking submarines it all. And finally, who wins Tankathon 2018 and gets the number one pick in this year's draft?
Yeah, for a bit of upside, it has to be Dallas. It's what they need.
It's what they need.
And I think all they need is a bit of Nerlens Noel out there for a few games, and that'll just sort them right out.
Nerlens, you're our go-to scorer for the rest of the year. Do it, son. Do it. And here's a bonus, yeah, nah, as well. So the Spurs have got to go 15-8 against the league's hardest remaining schedule to make sure that they finish with a win percentage of 61%, 0.610, which is 50-32. Because the last time they finished below 0.610 was 1997-98.
Jeez.
20 years ago. So they won 50 games every single year for the last 20 years, apart from the 2 lockout years. What do you reckon? Will they do it?
They can't do it without Kawhi.
All right. Bonus year, nah. Will Kawhi or Markel Fultz play this season?
Nah.
Nice one. Tricky. I'll tell you that much. It's pretty fucking tricky. All right. Let's get to the Australian Player Watch after this.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Classic Joe Ingles. All right, NBA Straya, Australian Player Watch, Ben Simmons, having a good year so far. You know, he's doing all right. Did all right in the rookie sophomore Rising Stars Challenge. 11 points, 6 rebounds, 13 assists, 4 steals. Only guy out there playing defense, apparently. Still, should have been our first All-Star. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. For the year, 16.4 points, 7.8 rebounds, 7.3 assists, almost 2 steals, and 1 block a game. Not fucking bad for a rookie there, Bill.
Yeah, plus I saw him hit a jump shot in one game. That was pretty cool.
I watched it. Someone made a GIF of it. So I've got it on replay like all the fucking time. It's great. Patty Mills for the year, 9.4 points, 2.6 assists, 1.8 rebounds, shooting 42% from the field and 38.6 from three. It just looks out of sorts since they moved Tony Parker to the bench and his role is kind of being a little bit.
He's very streaky, isn't he?
Yeah. Come on, Patty, get your shit together. Jingling Joe Ingles. Oh, currently the second best three-point shooter in the league. But can't get a fucking invite to the three-point shootout.
Yeah, because there are only, what, three people they invite to that, is it?
Two, yeah. Four, it's only, eight. There's only like three spots, right? Oh, yeah, no, there's like fucking 24 motherfuckers out there. Yeah, we need Tobias Harris instead of Joe Ingles. Tobias Harris, career 34% three-point shooter. Get the fuck out of here. So in the 11-game Jazz winning streak, the pride of Rattelaide. They're smashing it. 16 points a game, 3.3 rebounds, 4 assists, 53.4% from the field, and 54.2% from three. Get
so
the
many.
Fuck out of there. Unbelievable. Good stuff, Joe. Pretty good. That's also bumped up his year average of 10.8, 4 and 4.
Well, he did set, was it 3 career high scoring games in like a week?
Yep. So he went... equaled the career high, betted it, and then betted it again the next game. So 21, 23, and 24. How about Dele? He hurt his ankle on February 6th, posting basically the most inspirational videos I've ever seen currently. So
it's like an Australian Rookie montage.
It is. It's basically Aussie Rocky.
Yeah.
In fact, we should get working on that script right now. His role has been weirded out with Bledsoe and Brogdon playing over him, but Brogdon is now out for the rest of the season. So once he's back, that was weird. once he's back, he'll be straight back in as a backup point guard. For the year, he's at 4.5 points, 3.8 assists, and 1.7 rebounds, and the best defender in the world. So that's an actual official stat.
Yeah, his scrappiness factor is off the charts.
Yeah, great hustle stats. Thon Song, out there smashing it. 5 points for the year. 5 points, 3.4 rebounds, 1 block a game. Not bad. Still just a tick under 31% from three. He had it up to about 34. Now it's back down. What are you going to do? Aaron Bangers Baines, 5.5 points, 5.5 rebounds. Doing okay. Could do a little bit better. But Baines is now leading the league in best individual defensive rating of any current rotation player in the league.
It's because it takes 4.5 minutes to get a random, Jimmy.
It's like you actually have to navigate a dump truck to get to the basket. So he is, I think, in the individual defensive rating. The only people above him are dudes who are out for the season now and played like a limited number of games. So Baines is the only one who's actually still playing. And so he's number one. It's pretty good. He's fifth in ESPN's defensive real plus minus metric as well.
We just think, if he's willing to do that to his hair, what's he willing to do to me?
He'll lay you the fuck out. That's what's going to happen. The Celtics are 31-14 when Baines starts. Andrew Bogut, still no team, sitting on the couch, fucking around on Twitter and getting paid. What an inspiration.
Is he going to be picked up, do you think?
I think he will. I think people are going to try out some G League dudes on some 10 days at the moment, keep a roster spot open, and just one of the dudes who goes, might even be a last week of the season pickup, where they just go, fuck it, we just need one big body. And there might be one more, you know, turned ankle or injury or something, they need something just to sort of settle them going to the playoffs, and Bogut will get a call. I mean, why not? The daily question, yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Yeah, still is, but should be back hopefully this week, if not next. The Jazz announced that it should be after the All-Star break. They just didn't say when. Final part of Australian Player Watch, Kyrie. 10th in scoring in the NBA. 24.7 points a game. Did okay in the All-Star game. 13 points on 16 shots. It's about par for course, I think, in the All-Star game. 9 assists and 7 rebounds. Not bad. Kiwi Corner, how's Stephen Adams going? Hey, Brew, how's Stephen Adams going? Hey. Well, no different from when we checked in last Thursday, because he hasn't played a game since, obviously. So 14-9 on the season, shooting 62.6.
So good.
from the field. That's third in the NBA behind Clint Capela and DeAndre Jordan. They're at 65.4 and 65.2. Not bad, but the NBA just released a box out stat to their hustle statistics page, which I fucking love, Bill. And boy, the giant Kiwi puts in a bit of hard yakker over there. So he's averaging 11 box outs per game for 9 rebounds. Rusty Westbrook, meanwhile, boxes out just once per game and gets 9 rebounds. So do you reckon...
Do you think there's something happening there?
I feel like there's a correlation, Bill.
They play on the same team, don't they?
It's weird, right?
It's weird.
I got a feeling that Steven Adams might be boxing out and Russell Westbrook might be stealing those rebounds.
That could be it. I reckon that could be it.
Might be under something there. Just imagine if Steven Adams' brew actually just got the rebounds he boxed out for. He might be averaging like 20 a fucking game. Nice one. It's Thursday as well, so let's add the great moments in NBA Australia stat history. Kyrie, 2013, 5 years ago, came off a dominating All-Star break, Bill. Massive in the rookie challenge, won the three-point shootout and debuted in the All-Star game in only his second year, right? I don't know if you remember this, but everyone came off going, fuck, man, Kyrie Irving. It was the weekend of Kyrie. And everyone's like, god damn, this dude is good. Came into the All-Star break, first game back, scored 35 points against Anthony Davis and the New Orleans Pelicans. 20 of them in the last 7 fucking minutes to win the game.
Seems like a lot, doesn't
it? It's a lot of points in 7 minutes. If you extrapolate that over to your 36 minutes per game, that's what? Almost 60?
Yeah.
Pretty good. So 35 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 16 of 23 shooting, and more backbreaking, twisty layups than you could possibly imagine. And this is pre-LeBron comeback. So my hypothesis is LeBron's watching games like this and goes, oh man, fuck playing with old man D-Wade over here. I'm going home.
I assume that's how LeBron chooses where he wants to go. He just occasionally watches some other games.
Maybe watch some
highlights on ESPN and then like, yeah, that'll do.
I'm on board. I like that guy. I'm going to go play with him. Nice one. All right, let's get to quickly the game previews after this. This is Andrew Bogut and you are listening to NBA Straya. I mean, you are listening to NBA Straya. Thanks, Andrew Bogut. All right, Bill, quickly, the Patty Mills inspiration board. Do you find Patty Mills inspiring, Bill?
Well, he's not at the moment.
Yeah. Well, his performance isn't inspiring.
Yeah.
He did fly over a couple of kids all the way from Australia to get him to a game. But the only thing he's tweeted is a retweet of the San Antonio Spurs congratulating Thiago Splitter on retiring. So it's not very inspiring.
Recently?
Yeah, like literally just on the weekend. Thiago Splitter's like, yeah.
Where has he actually been?
He was like in Atlanta, and I think he was a part of like the Dwight Howard trade.
All right.
Yeah, nice. All right, get to
game previews. Game previews.
We're back. There's actual games again tonight.
Finally.
How good is this? Actually get to watch some fucking basketball. So first off, the rank. It's the Nets at Hornets. Jesus. Spencer Dinwiddie versus Kemba Walker.
Is this what you do after the All-Star break? You put up a real blockbuster first up?
The gross one. Jeremy Lin going up against his old team. But Jeremy Lin doesn't play anymore. Yeah. Ever, apparently. Nets at Hornets. Was going to go down and hang out in Charlotte for this, but then realized it'd be Nets versus Hornets. And I'd rather go to a better game.
Yeah.
Not great. So who you got there, Bill?
Hornets.
Nice. I do too. Nets are on like a 7-game losing streak.
But they're not tanking.
Not tanking. No. Don't have a pick. No. Brutal. Knicks at Magic. Gross. Tankathon. Let the tank begin. God damn it. Knicks at Magic. That is fucking horrible. Who you got there?
I've got sadness, probably. Probably the Magic.
The best player in this game is probably going to be Super Mario Hazonia. Either that or Michael Beasley.
Yeah, Beasley. Has to be Bees.
God damn. Super cool Bees. Hey, what are you doing over there, super cool Bees? Oh, shit. There's Michael Beasley. There you go. I found him. Oh, Jesus. All right. Knicks and Magic. Yeah, I'm going to take the Hornets in that first one. Give me the Magic in this. Actual good game, though, Bill. Wiz at Cavs.
Interesting.
Pretty good, right?
Important for the East.
Very important.
Wouldn't be important in the 1-16 seeding, but very important in the current Eastie-Westie.
So the Cavs are on 34 wins. The Wiz are on 33. So it's actually pretty fucking close. Unfortunately for the Wiz, they don't have John Wall. And fortunately for the Cavs, they got LeBron James back. I mean, he can go anywhere, but now he's playing basketball again.
Yeah, okay. He looks like he's flicked the All-Star switch. He looks like he cares again. And he might do that thing that players sometimes do, defense. I don't think Cleveland did it for 10 weeks or something.
For sure. So, who you got there? Wiz, Cavs?
Oh, Cavs.
Give me the Cavs as well. Sixers at Bulls. Oh, another good one. Big Simo, Embiid. Philly are on a 5-game winning streak. Going up against Zach LaVine and Lowry. That's a girl's name marketing.
Some very fun young players in this game.
Yeah, it's good. Also, they played a really great game, I think, what, about a month ago. They were, I think, went to overtime and was fucking awesome. So, I don't know, but Chicago really need to jump on this tank train, don't they? They're one of the 8 teams at 20 wins less, and they're the best of those 8 teams.
Yeah, which you don't need to
come
be.
Come on, man. You got to like drop like 8 straight out of nowhere, I think.
It's not like they're looking
like
at their
Brooklyn
team
are
thinking,
doing, but,
yeah,
you know, actually for a reason.
You know, you would have thought, but on the other hand, Philly desperately needs to win all of these types of games.
Yep, they really do. Just to keep up, you know, sort of above and in that sort of, 7-8 spot. Because they're tied with Miami at 30 wins, but they do have 3 losses in hand. So Philly, 5-game winning streak. I think they win this.
Agree.
Even if it's in Chicago. Thunder at Kings. Ugh, gross. Thunder fucking, I don't know how they get these get right games all the time. They get to play like Memphis and Sacramento randomly after they have a couple of shit games. And so the Thunder, I think, beat Memphis going into the break and now get the Kings coming out of the break. So they get to...
It's hard to figure out where OKC are at. They seem to occasionally get it together and look amazing, and then just it all crumbles the next game, and their 3 best players shoot like 29%.
Do you think Carmelo was still hanging around All-Star weekend on the weekend, even though he had no part in it?
You have to imagine, so like, oh, where's
guys,
my jersey? I haven't seen it.
Guys, where's the party? Guys, guys, can I come? Guys, it's like, sorry, Mello, you're not an All-Star. I was an All-Star last year. Mello, it doesn't matter. Get
but
the fuck
I could
out
be
here.
Like Team USA Mello, please.
So Thunder win this one, right?
Absolutely.
Nice. Kings need to like rest everybody. Like anyone who's older than 25 should not be playing for the Kings.
Yeah. But they have some fun young players.
They do, but you shouldn't be playing Costa Koufos ever. No. Like just in general.
No, he needs to be like getting ready for tax time.
He also needs to find some of that fucking, he's got that flesh yarmulke, which is pretty amazing. Good job, Costa. Clips at Warriors, final game of the night. This is a pretty good one, even though the Clips, they're not quite the old Clips who beat the old Warriors. The only team to beat the Warriors in the playoffs, basically, apart from Cleveland in the last 4 years.
Wow.
Pretty crazy, right? Is that Mark Jackson Warriors
but they don't have
team,
any so. Of the same players anymore, do they?
Not the Clips, no. They've got DeAndre Jordan, that's it. So, I think the Warriors win that. I think, as mentioned earlier, I think the Warriors are going to kick all that talk of the Rockets taking the number one seed to the curb and like win 22 straight or something.
Yeah, I can see the Warriors not liking that.
Yeah. Do you reckon the Warriors win that?
Yeah, unless Lou Williams scores like 70.
He might. You're like, well, come on, bruh. I want to play in the All-Star game. Now this is my All-Star game, motherfuckers. All right, cool. There you go, Warriors. There you go. That's some nice picks for tonight. I got Hornets, Magic, Cavs, Sixers, Thunder,
hold
Warriors.
On, tonight, you mean there's actual basketball back again? Oh,
actual basketball.
God.
I can stop watching Lethal Weapon movies. Jesus Christ.
You can stop watching 55-point college games.
Ugh, gross. All right, let's do it. That's it. That's done. NBA Australia for today. Thank you, Bill, for being the first guest on NBA Australia. That was enlightening. It was fun as hell. Actually, having back and forth.
That was good. I'm not going to wear Dallas stuff again, so you can pick on another team, maybe.
Nice. That's been it for today. We'll be back for tomorrow for more ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe on iTunes and Google Play. You know what to do. Rating and review. Come on, tell them, mate. Just be like, all right, there's some fucking Australian asshole who's like yelling all the time at me. You should listen to his podcast. Sure, why not? Thanks to From Oslo for the opening and outro song. Go check out their new band House Hats. They just released their new single Stop, and it is an absolute fucking corker. So go request on Triple J and also listen to it because it's really good. An extra special thanks to the legends of Green Green Green, Iowa Fascinator, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give him a smash. Great tunes. And that's it, man. Stick around for a special episode of Joe Ingles, HR Manager, and we'll catch us tomorrow. Thanks, Bill.
Awesome.
Nice one. We'll catch us tomorrow. Later, Hosen. G'day. It's Joe Ingles here for my weekly front-facing appointment in the NBA Australia office. I've had a lovely All-Star break, catching up on paperwork, a bunch of training videos I was quite excited to do. But I'm back and here to answer your NBA questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Because remember, didn't go to uni in Adelaide just to play basketball. I also majored in human resources. So I'm qualified to help out with any questions you might have. After all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans
resources. And I'll tell you, good HR gets results. I mean, me and the Jazz are on an 11-game winning streak. That's the values of meeting daily KPIs right there. But I'm still making sure I take care of my duties as NBA Australia HR manager. So let's get to today's question. It comes from Mark in Dallas.
Joe, so I'm in charge of a large, sprawling organization, and it has recently come to light that certain employees of mine, completely unbeknownst to me, were either sexually harassing women or flat out committing domestic abuse. What I want to know is if you have any HR tips for getting a business to set up appropriate corporate structures and safeguards to comply with all sorts of HR regulations to make sure we don't make mistakes like this again. Cheers, Mark from Dallas.
I'm glad you wrote in, Mark. Sexual harassment and domestic abuse are obviously incredibly important issues within any organization, and a zero tolerance approach is obviously the only answer. The best way to implement any policy and to remind people of what an organization's HR handbook dealing with any accusations of sexual harassment or domestic abuse is to make sure everyone has completed rigorous multimedia interactive training videos, preferably at least 45 minutes in length. So really, it's just where good HR management shines. A lot of this comes down to making sure you have clear lines of communication between management and your employees. But yes, you really should just fire anyone who was convicted of domestic abuse and take every sexual harassment accusation very seriously. So there you go, Mark. Once you've properly managed and focused your human resources in the new workplace environment, you'll be on track to organizational success in no time. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Engels, and this has been the H&R Q&A session. We'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.